We are in a teaching series that we have titled Go, and we're speaking about walking, following, moving forward with the plan that God has for our life, for the church in the world. And today we're going to continue in that message. If you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to open it up to John chapter 10. And John chapter 10, in the first few verses there, speaks of Jesus as being a good shepherd. It's one who steps in, calls his sheep by name, and they begin to follow him. And whenever they follow him, the sheep being his people, whenever they follow him, they experience a rich and satisfying life. And so today I want to talk about going to the place that God has designed for us all. And again, it's not just a place in eternity that we refer to as heaven. It's actually a rich and satisfying life. It's a life that is filled with greatness, and it's a life filled with purpose and audacity and walking forward with God in a powerful, powerful way. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy." In other words, he wants you to go in the wrong direction. He wants you to hear the wrong voices. He wants you to step away from God. And so he wants to destroy you and take you out of God's plan for your life. He says, but my purpose, speaking of himself, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. A rich and satisfying life, an overflowing life, a life that is full, a life that is abundant. So today I want to talk about living the abundant life and how to step into that. And the great picture that God's word gives to us about abundant living is a picture of some people leaving 400 years of slavery and then headed towards what the Bible refers to as the promised land, or a land flowing with milk and honey. And whenever you see this story in the Old Testament, this great exodus of the Hebrew people leaving the slavery in Egypt and going towards the promised land, it is a picture for us to guide us into abundant living. The promised land doesn't represent heaven in the Bible. The promised land, or the land overflowing with milk and honey, represents the abundant life. And Jesus is the one that comes and rescues us out of slavery, out of darkness, out of sin. He is the one that begins to move us on a journey towards abundant living, or the rich and satisfying life, a life with all of the provision that you need comes from God, and all of these variations of things. But again, even though the people eventually entered into this promised land, they still had battles to fight. I just want you to know, whenever the final battle is over and Jesus returns, there will be no more battles to fight. But in the meantime, God has called us to move into his promises and live a rich and satisfying life, a life that is overflowing, a life that is full of great, great purpose. The enemy doesn't want you to know purpose. He doesn't want you to live a rich and satisfying life. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. How many of you really believe Jesus is good? Come on. And how many of you really believe that he shepherds or leads you out of darkness and will not leave you nor forsake you on this journey called life as you head towards the promised land, or head towards victory? And so today we're going to look at how to take hold of that, how to take hold of that victory that's found in Christ Jesus. He doesn't come just to deliver you from slavery. He comes to give you a rich and satisfying, overflowing, and abundant life. But you have to make some decisions. Everybody has to make decisions. And again, it is not automatic. In other words, just because Jesus has rescued you and gave you a gift, this gift called life, he has given you and forgiven you as a free gift, but you have to engage with that gift in order to experience the fullness of that gift. So you have to make some personal decisions. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to make some decisions. Oftentimes, other people want you to make the decision for you. You know, and again, you know, it's not up to other people to make the decisions that you need to make in order to follow God with your own life. And oftentimes we're going to people and say, would you just make this decision for me? Why? You need to make the decision. Other words, you've got to make some personal decisions about what you believe about Christ, what you believe about what he wants to do in your life and what he wants to do through your life. And so today I want to talk about good decision making. And if we study this journey that the Israelite or the Hebrew people made from Egypt into the promised land, what we discover is there's a lot of people that made bad decisions. But the Bible names two, Joshua and Caleb, that made good decisions. In other words, they entered into God's promise, into the victory, into the overflowing, rich, and satisfying life. Though they had many battles to fight once they got there, they still moved from slavery into this great provision that God offered. And it all had to do with the decisions they made. And again, Jesus comes and rescues us by the power of his blood, his death on a cross, and the resurrection. He comes to rescue us from sin. But once he delivers us out of bondage, out of sin, we have to make some conscious decisions to follow him into victory. He's the leader. Come on. He's the one that leads us into this great place. He said in John 10:10, he says, my purpose is to give them life and give them a rich and satisfying life. If you go and study that passage, John 10, the Bible says that his followers, they hear his voice and they step out and they follow him. They don't follow every other voice. They follow his voice. And there he leads them into victory. You see, if we study the life of Joshua, the first thing we discover is Joshua was a good follower. And if you're going to live an abundant life, you have to learn to follow. You have to submit to leadership, ultimately the leadership of God in your life. And it's very difficult for us to do that because we all want to go our own way and do our own thing. But God knows what's best. He's created us. He's designed us for a unique purpose. And we have to learn to be a good follower in order to step into this rich and satisfying life. Look where the first place that we see Joshua in the Bible, and it's found in Exodus chapter 17. And it's found there in Exodus 17, verses 9 through 9, 10, and 13, but let me just read it to you. The Bible says this, Moses the leader, the one who was leading them into the promised land, he chose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek. And he says, I need you to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow, he says, I will stand at the top of the hill holding the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua, everybody say Joshua. He was a good follower. The Bible says, so Joshua did what Moses had commanded, and he fought the army of Amalek. As a result, verse 13 says, the result of this was Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in the battle. And again, Joshua finds his purpose, he finds his potential, because he made a decision to follow the command of his leader, Moses. This is the first place we see Joshua in the scripture. And he made a decision to come underneath the command of the leader and do what the leader asked him to do. He went out and led the people of Israel against this army, which basically represents opposition against God's promise. And Joshua stood there and what he found out was he could overcome challenges in his life and he could be a winner with his life And it all had to do with him making a decision to follow the command of his leader. Now let's think about it. Joshua could have rebelled against that, couldn't he? He could have stepped up with a rebellious spirit and said, well, somebody else go fight. Somebody else lead the people there. But no, he took the initiative and did what Moses, well, Moses, why in the world are you gonna stay here and I'm gonna go down there and do the fighting? I mean, you're gonna stay here and you're gonna send me out to fight. And again, he could have started this comparison game and saying that the leader basically didn't have his best interests in mind and all of these variations of things, but Joshua submitted to the leadership that God put over him, the authority God put over him. And again, it was the pathway or the first step to stepping towards the greatness that God had in store for him. Joshua ultimately was the leader that led the next generation into this promise. But it all started with what I refer to as followership. See, it's really, really important for us to understand what it means to come to Christ. And the Bible says that when we come to Christ, we are to be his followers. What a Christian is a little Christ. In other words, you look at Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, and you seek to come under his leadership because of his great love and his great power in salvation, and then you seek to come under his authority or his leadership and you follow him with your life. And the way we follow him with our life is we ultimately look at God's word and see who he was. And the Bible gives us a clear picture. Doesn't give us every detail about Jesus's life, but it gives us a clear enough picture about Jesus's life and how to follow God and make good decisions. You know what? Even when the world comes against you. See, Jesus is our ultimate example. He stepped into the world, but the world came against him. The Jewish people came against him. The Gentiles came against him. All kinds of people came against him because he stepped into a place in time and says, I came into this world to rescue people. People can't rescue themselves. I stepped into this world to rescue people, and I need people to see the power of a heart that serves. And again, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to submit to his authority and we have to learn to serve. Serve. Sometimes that's difficult. Serving people you don't even like. Serving people who think they're above you. Serving people that are below you. And again, oftentimes, you know, we are like, no, I'm not gonna serve that person. They don't deserve my service. But see, we can't learn to follow God until we're willing to serve. Yes. And Jesus was one who served with great attitude, not because, you know, not to get something from it. He served it because it was his heart. It was who he was. It's what he wanted to do for you and me because of this thing called love. The Bible says there's three things that will last forever. They're called faith, hope, and love, 1 Corinthians 13. And this love that God has for you, when it gets in your heart, then what happens is you begin to follow after Jesus, you know, in spite of the circumstances. In other words, you get this fight in your spirit to keep moving forward because God has showed you so much great love, you want it to be exposed to other people. Come on. It's difficult. It's difficult when everybody's not, you know what, getting in line and going to the same place you're going, it becomes really, really difficult. You'll begin to question your own self. But see, Jesus, he led out in such a way, he served in such a way, Joshua served in such a way that, you know what, their heart was submitted to the authority. Jesus' heart was submitted to the Father in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says whenever Jesus went to the cross, that he knelt and he says, if there's any other way to do this, you know what? Let's do it another way. But if not, not my will, but your will. When's the last time you told God that? Not my will, but your will. But God, if you're going to stick me right here for the rest of my life, it's your will, not my will. God, you know what? I don't know why I'm stuck in this situation right now, but not my will, your will. Here's the deal. If God said that this is the way, and he's put you in a place and time and space to advance his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, you will have difficult moments. You will have challenging moments. And just because you have challenges and difficulties in your life does not mean it's not God's will. Life is not a box of chocolates. But life is fulfilling, and it can be abundant if you're willing to follow God all the way through the wilderness towards the promise. Most people quit in the wilderness. My friend, I need you to know today you will have wilderness experiences. In other words, you're not going to always feel God's presence. You're not going to always feel, you know what, like you're gonna begin to ask sometimes, where are you? Well, maybe God's just a step out in front of you, calling your name and say, walk this way. Don't quit there. Don't you stop. Don't you pull over to the side. Walk this way. I called you out of Egypt. I got a place for you to go. Don't stalemate. Don't you do circles. Don't you stay where you are. You walk this way and follow my lead. So we have to learn to be a good follower. We have to learn to hear the right voices. If God, the good shepherd, called you out of slavery, he's not going to leave you in the wilderness. He's going to lead you all the way through the wilderness into the abundant life. But you and I have to be willing and make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to follow God's lead in spite of my circumstances. And Joshua was a good follower. Disciples are good followers. Submission breaks rebellion. Whenever I submit to the authority over my life, rebellion is broken in my life. And ultimately, God is the authority over my life. Who is the authority over your life? Who has God put in place to be authority in your life? I think that's a great question for all of us to ask, because we need to submit to that and follow God with our heart. We have to learn to be good followers. The next decision that we have to learn to make is, you know what, God's plan is about progress, not punishment. I hear people say all the time, well, why, you know, well, what did I do in order to deserve this punishment? Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe the tough thing that's happening is for progress, not punishment. See, I oftentimes go, well, what did I do, you know what, to deserve this? Well, maybe I didn't do anything. Maybe the reason this is there is just to make me stronger so I can continue to make progress. See, it's all a different lens of looking at things. It's all a different way of looking at things. It's saying, you know, I don't just see the challenges as things that come into my life because I did something wrong. Maybe the challenges have come into my life to build my strength in what God has said. Look what the Bible says in Numbers 13 about this journey. The Bible says, the Lord said to Moses at one point in time, I need you to send out men to explore the land of Canaan. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. He says, the land I'm giving you, the Israelites, send out one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. It goes on to say in verse 27, this was the report that they brought back to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large, and they're fortified. It goes on to say, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb, the one with Joshua, he tried to quiet the people, and he stood before Moses. Hey, let's go at once, and let's take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. God says that we're more than conquerors. But the other men who had explored the land with him, they disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt. Everybody say felt. We had a feeling. We felt like grasshoppers, and that's what, you know, what they thought too. Goes on there in Numbers 14 to finish this out. It says, the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Bunch of crybabies. The Bible goes on to say this. Their voice rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, in the challenging place, they complained. Look what they say. Why is the Lord, verse 3, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? In other words, why is God doing this to us? Why is he saying to go into this country where these giants are? It's a bountiful land. It's a land that he's given us. He's going to give us all the provision we'll ever need. Why is God doing this to us? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves. Let's choose a new leader and let's go back. Let's go back to Egypt. See, oftentimes, the challenges we face in life, we can begin to think God is against us instead of for us. But see, God knows that we have to have our faith muscle built up in who he is in order to be strong enough to sustain what we need to sustain whenever we walk into the fullness of the promise. And oftentimes, it can feel like God is against us instead of for us simply because God is allowing a little bit of adversity to build strength in our faith. And oftentimes it's not anything you have done. It's not anything I have done in order for that adversity to come in. It's simply something God is allowing in order to strengthen our faith so we can keep taking steps towards the promise. And the majority of the people, whenever things are hard, they say, well, this must not be God's will for our life because you know what, there's some difficult things there. We feel like, you know what, this is not obtainable, so it must not be God's will for us. And they give up and they quit and they want to go back to where it was comfortable. Why did the people want to go back to Egypt? It was comfortable in Egypt. I know they were slaves, but they got three meals a day. They always were told what they needed to do and the steps they needed to take. They didn't have to live by faith. All they had to do was live by the voice of Pharaoh. Do exactly what Pharaoh told them to do, and everything was good. See, some people love this comfortable feeling of not living by faith. For somebody to tell them exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it, instead of listening to the voice of God and taking steps towards the amazing, rich, satisfying life that he says we can obtain. And we have to make a decision. Am I going to be a person that walks by faith, or am I going to walk by sight? In other words, am I going to continually believe, you know what, everything I see is bigger than God? It doesn't mean you don't see it. doesn't mean you don't see the financial challenges right now. It doesn't mean that you don't see that gas is $4.25 a gallon right now. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems in your life. But just because those things are there, doesn't mean that we can't step through them and enter into the promise of God and live a rich and satisfying life. But you have to make a decision to keep going. What you gonna do? Go back to Egypt? And if you go back to Egypt, my friend, what's gonna happen is, you know what? You're gonna die and you're never gonna experience the fullness of the promise. The rich and satisfying life that God has for each of us. You know what? There's days I wanna go back to Egypt. I like staying comfortable. I really do. But see, I have to make a decision. This is what God has said for his people. This is who the church is to be in the community. And we have to keep stepping out. We have to keep reaching people. We have to keep growing. We have to keep challenging people. And we have to believe that God has our best interest in mind. I believe that with all my heart. That God has your and my best interest in mind. He has put us here to face adversity and keep moving forward with his amazing promise in our life. And we have to stand and we have to help and we have to encourage and we have to fight together in this good fight. We can't quit, we can't pull over to the side. I need your encouragement and you need my encouragement. And we have to keep heading towards what God has promised us, and we're gonna hold on to it and believe God in the fullness of who he says he is. My friends, get you some rallying of people around you. It might just be one Caleb, but let's walk together into the promise that God says that we can walk into and live by faith and not by sight. You know, what happens is oftentimes, you know, whenever God asks us to do something we don't want to do, we rebel and want to go back to Egypt. But again, sometimes if we just follow his lead and go against our what we feel, we'll discover that God's promises are always going to make us stronger. Let me give you an example. You know, some of you have kids that they constantly want to eat dessert first. They rebel and they're like, you know, I'm going to eat my dessert, and they're never going to get the nutrition that they need to make a healthy body. It's just like, sweet, sweets, all I eat is sweet, sweets. And again, and you say, no, you're not going to eat dessert anymore before you eat your meal. Well, again, they can rebel and go back. And why are you doing that? Are you doing that because you hate your kid? No, you're doing that because you want your kid to be healthy. And you don't want your kid to fill up on unhealthy things, just junk food all their life. And you're asking them to abstain from the junk food for a minute in order to put the healthy stuff in, because if all you do is eat junk food, you know what, you're not going to be successful. But the kid is feeling like you are against them. I mean, think about it for a minute. I mean, they're going to tell you you're the worst parent ever. You hate them. They're going to tell you all of these variations of things. You don't like me anymore because you won't let me do what I want to do. No, I'm trying to put guardrails and guidelines in your life so you can become stronger and you can become healthy and enter into the amazing, amazing promise. But oftentimes, you know what? What happens is we as adults, we do the same thing. God, I just want to eat dessert. And again, when God says, no, you're not going to eat dessert first. You're going to do this first. You're going to put me first. You need to put me first in your life. No, God, I don't want to put you first in my life. Well, why not? Bible says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you as well. Amen. What's keeping you from putting God first? Because there's guardrails and guidelines where we put God first in our life, and we're to walk by those guardrails and guidelines, but sometimes some of us never experience the rich and satisfying life. It's simply because we won't follow God's promise. If you put me first, I'll take care of everything else. It's amazing, isn't it? is, you know, no, God, I can't put you first. I like dessert. God saying, well, you know what? I'll let you eat your dessert, but you need to eat some of this first. And you need to do this first. You need to have some nutrition first. You need to have some guidance first. And again, we have to make the decision that God is not trying to punish us, but he's trying to provide for us, and he's trying to build us up, and he's trying to help us make progress. The last thing I wrote down about making the right decisions is this. I can't always, you know, go with the majority's opinion. I need to make a decision to go with the master's voice. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The voice of the master, King Jesus, will speak to your heart through his word. My friend, he has given every single one of us in his word exactly how to follow him. And again, it's not different for you than it is for me. We all can follow after Jesus and walk in the goodness of God. We may have diversity in our gifts, and we may have different functions in the body of Christ, but we all have the same purpose. Together, we are revealing who God is to the world by following our leader, Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the head and we are the body. And again, there is a majority's opinion everywhere, but the master's voice is crystal clear. And he's inviting us to follow after him and make him known to the world by simply using our gifts, encouraging each other, and together, everybody say together, together. Serving the world. My friend, when you make yourself a part of the bigger part, you'll begin to experience a rich and satisfying life in your own personal life. But so many people are trying to live independent from the body of Christ. And again, you won't experience the fullness of what God wants to do until you connect yourself and your family to his body. And again, letting the body serve you, and you serve the body. And together we're being built up into one unit, come on,
yes, Lord,
that is expressing God to this earth. And again, the Bible says this in Numbers 14, verses 6 through 12. It says, these two men who had explored the land, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, they tore their clothing. They said to all the other people of Israel, the land we travel through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and he will give it to us. He says, it is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel. Do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them, they say. But the whole community began to talk about killing or stoning Joshua and Caleb. And so, again, the whole community was like, you know what? Well, we know God said it, but we're going to rebel. We would rather stay here. We don't want to take what God said. You know, if Jesus said in John 10:10, he is the leader that leads us into the rich and satisfying life, and we refuse to follow him and live a full and abundant life, rich and satisfying life, exactly what Jesus said he came to give. If we refuse to do it, then we're rebelling against God. And again, God called you out of Egypt not to just stay in a struggling state all the time. If you follow Jesus and you put sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard, behind you, and you set your eyes on the things of heaven and what God wants to do, and your mission is simply to bring up there, down here, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. My friend, I'm telling you right now, God will provide and God will do exactly what he says he will do. Everything around you in the world in the streets, in the city, in the sea will be against you. But God is for you. And if God is for you, who could be against you? Majority. Church is dying. Church is wicked. Church is cruel. The church wants something from you. No, the church is the body of Christ, and we want something for you, and we want the church to change the world, because Jesus said what's going to happen in the world is going to happen through the church. Yeah. Through the church. And if you hate God's church, then ultimately you're hating God. Because the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that Jesus came and he gave his life on a cross for his church, for his people, for a bride. And that bride is becoming purified in this world today. And as she gets purified, Jesus is going to return. And it's going to be miraculous, and it's going to be incredible, and it's going to be phenomenal.
Yes, glory.
My friend, step in. If there's something you don't like about the church, a local body, then step in and do something about it. In other words, don't stand on the sidelines and just complain about what you see. Step in and let's together work at it, change the world. It's easy to stay back here in the wilderness and not step in and do anything with what God has designed you to do and talk about what God wants. This is the church. And again, oftentimes the majority of voices will say, you know, just stay away. No, step in. The voice of the Master has been crystal clear. What I'm going to do in the world, I'm going to do through those who've been called out of darkness into the wonderful light. And they come together, they unify, they purify themselves, and they represent me in the world. We are the people of God. Let's step into the fullness of who he says we are, and let's see what God can do. He's taken us into a glorious place. And so let's trust him. It's the rich and satisfying life. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And I thank you for every person here. God, if one of us is being rebellious, God, if one of us is being rebellious and we're not trusting your voice, and we're not stepping towards this rich and satisfying life because of the giants, because of what we see, the things we see, and we feel like grasshoppers, we feel little, and we feel like we can't do it. God, I pray just give us the courage today to believe that you called us out of darkness into the wonderful light, God, to make a difference for your kingdom. And God, I know we don't always get it right, but God, we seek and we strive to follow after you. Jesus, we want to be your followers. We want to be your disciples. We want to make you known in this earth. And God, I know there's a lot of things that we could do better, but God, I just pray you would give us the courage just to take that next step and do that next right thing. And God, we would believe you for this abundant life. We would believe that it's your command that we live the rich and satisfying life, Jesus, because you came to serve us and give us that. And God, I pray we wouldn't listen to the enemy's voice anymore, but we would keep each other encouraged, and we would keep each other faithful to your promises all the days of our life. And God, we would make you known in this earth, and many people would be drawn to you, Jesus, because your name is lifted up and it's lifted high. Jesus, would you bring healing in our world? Jesus, would you bring healing in our families? Would you bring healing in our communities? Healing in the individual lives? And Jesus, as we are healed by the stripes you received on that cross, Jesus, I pray that we would step into the fullness of the resurrection and live a life that is restored and making a difference. Jesus, you are seated on the throne. You are waiting for every enemy to be put underneath your feet. And I pray that we would be faithful people, followers of Jesus, all the days of our life. My friend, if you've never stepped into a relationship with the Almighty, most powerful God, the God of the universe, the way you do that is through Christ Jesus. And my friend, you submit to what he did on a cross for you, and you submit to his resurrection, believe in its power. The Bible says you'll be saved. The Bible says he was perfect in every way, come to give his life on a cross so you can be reunited to your Creator. And if you need to receive that by faith today, say, God, I believe that with my heart today. I believe Jesus died for me, rose from the grave to conquer sin, to conquer the grave, to conquer all the things that come against me for living in union with you. And say, today, I want to step into the fullness of that life. And I trust you, Christ, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength. And I believe, Jesus, you are the Savior of the world. If you said that prayer, I want to say, welcome to the family. Let somebody know about it, because together we're in this. Together, God calls us to live a rich and satisfying life. Thank you, Jesus. We pray this prayer in your most holy and precious name. Amen.